Hello, listeners. This is Ryan here with Patricia, who is in for Isaac this week. And welcome to our podcast for December 11th, 2013. How are you doing, Patricia?
I am great. It is freezing cold here in Kansas today, but I am looking forward to getting out in it.
How cold is it there now? Because I heard that there's like a huge cold front going through the Midwest.
Yeah, I think yesterday it was 18 degrees. It was
cold. Oh, my God. No way. That's so crazy. It hasn't gotten that cold yet. It's probably like low 40s right now in New York, so it's not too bad. Yeah, but my day's going pretty well. I'm getting ready to go back and do Christmas cookies with my aunt, and so yeah, getting into the holiday spirit.
All right, well, send me a few of those, will you?
Oh yeah, definitely. All right, so this week we have a great podcast coming your way. We have a regular cast update, theater news, and media sections.
We also have an interesting discussion in our theater news section this week, along with a great interview with the Second National Tour's current Elphaba, Miss Jennifer.
Hi, listeners. This is Ryan here with Shira, and welcome to this week's theater news. How are you doing, Shira?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good, trying to fight off sleep, but I'm doing well.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's get right into this theater news. Recently this week, for those of you who did not see it, The Sound of Music Live aired, and according to Broadway.com, a whopping 18.9 million viewers tuned in. The Sound of Music Live featured Carrie Underwood as Maria, Stephen Moyer as Captain Von Trapp. It also featured Audra McDonald as Mother Abbess, Laura Benanti as Elsa Schrader, and Christian Borle as Max Detweiler. Now, did you have the chance to see The Sound of Music Live?
I actually didn't. I had a ton of homework that night, and I wasn't able to. But I have several friends who did, and every single one of them asked me if I saw it. Okay. And I am planning to watch it this weekend, if that counts. Okay. Did you?
I did see it. I was reading my Facebook posts because a lot of my friends were watching it too, and they were kind of expecting the movie version and not the stage version, so they were like getting all angry that certain songs were out of order and that there were new songs and all that stuff, but most of them kind of were bashing Carrie Underwood for her acting, and I mean, it's a tough role because, of course, people are going to kind of compare it to Julie Andrews, and of course she's not Julie Andrews, but I thought she did quite well singing wise. Acting, she wasn't as strong, but all the other people, Audra McDonald, Laura Benanti, and Christian Borle were absolutely fantastic in it. The sets were phenomenal, and the way that they did the transitions were absolutely incredible. So, I mean, it was pretty good, but they could have done better.
Yeah, I was so interested when I saw the number of people who watched, that there were 15 million people who watched. I just think that's amazing, especially I was reading an article that talked about the importance of NBC showing musical theater on TV, and I just think that it's really interesting and amazing that there are over 15 million people who want to watch musical theater on a weeknight.
Exactly, yeah. So hopefully, with this kind of leading the way, that there might be some other shows that kind of come to that. And I mean, it doesn't have to be like every year, but like maybe once in a blue moon. Because I mean, 18.5 million viewers, that's a lot.
Absolutely. Nominations for the 56th Annual Grammy Awards were announced by the Recording Academy this week. Among the nominees for Best Musical Theater Album were Kinky Boots, Matilda, and Motown. What do you think about this nomination and these nominations? Do you think that anything was missing?
I think that all the shows that were nominated deserve it. I've seen Matilda before, and I thought the music was pretty good. I have yet to see Kinky Boots, but I'm seeing it actually in a couple weeks, which I'm excited for.
That's
so
exciting.
And most of them I haven't seen yet, but I believe that they all deserve that nomination. As of ones who were snubbed, I can't really think of one right now. What about you?
I was also very happy with the nominations. I haven't seen Motown and Matilda, but I saw Kinky Boots over a year ago. And I know all of the music to both Kinky Boots and Matilda, and I was very happy about that. I was disappointed that Pippin was not nominated.
That's the one that I was disappointed about. I couldn't remember which one wasn't nominated.
So I just think that obviously it's a revival musical, and it's exciting that it's back to Broadway, but I'm disappointed that it wasn't acknowledged for the great music and the amazing talent on that album. I was just listening to it today, actually.
Yeah, definitely, without a doubt. Okay, our last piece of theater news is somewhat interesting. On February 4th, 2014, Fran Drescher will be taking over the role as Madame in Rodgers and Hammerstein's Cinderella. She will be taking over for Harriet Harris, who is the original star. What are your thoughts on this, Shira?
Surprised?
Oh my god, me too.
Yeah.
Have you seen Cinderella at all?
I haven't. Again, I know a lot of the music. I just was very much not expecting that announcement.
I know, it's so out of left field. I actually saw Cinderella this past weekend with my cousin, and Harriet Harris was absolutely amazing in it. So it's going to be interesting to see how Fran kind of makes the role her own. And I don't know if she's known for her singing. I'm not sure, but we'll see how it goes, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I believe in their casting abilities to cast someone who's fitting for the role. So I look forward to seeing how she takes over the role and what her interpretation of the role is. I think it's going to be very interesting.
Oh, definitely, without a doubt.
Well, that's it for this week's theater news, and we will now head over to the next section.
Hello, listeners. This is Jonathan here with Patricia, giving you this week's Wicked News. How are you doing, Patricia?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Jonathan?
I'm good. It's just really snowy here right now, icy and snowy, which is actually perfect because I just saw the movie Frozen, which obviously features Idina Menzel, and that's all about ice and everything. So, have you seen it?
I haven't yet.
It's really good. And I really like that they're using, like, Broadway talent for a lot of the voices in it. Like, Idina Menzel is the voice of Elsa, and Kristen Bell is the voice of Anna, and she's performed on Broadway also, and Jonathan Groff, Santino Fontana, I mean, they're all great, so it's really good. So, Kevin Kern and...
Yeah, that's definitely on my list to see.
Yeah, it's a great, I think it's one of the best Disney animated films they've made in years. So, Kevin Kern and Derek Klena have been cast in the upcoming Broadway musical, The Bridges of Madison County. Mr. Kern will be a standby for the roles of Robert Kincaid and Bud Johnson, played by Stephen Pasquale and Hunter Foster, respectively. Klena will play the role of Michael Johnson. The Bridges of Madison County will begin previews January 17th, 2014, towards the February 20th opening night at the Gerald Schoenfeld Theater. For tickets and more information, visit bridgesofmadisoncountymusical.com. So that's exciting for them.
It is. That looks like it's going to be an interesting show.
Yeah, I know it's based on a movie of the same name, and I haven't seen the movie, but it's written by Jason Robert Brown, the music, and I love him, and I love his music, so I think it's going to be really good.
Very much so. Monday, November 9th, the first national touring cast of Wicked hosted the Wicked Night After Christmas at the Laugh Factory in Chicago, Illinois. This event was part of an ongoing series of performances and appearances by the touring company to support charitable causes, which advance Wicked's theme of acceptance and illuminate the musical's message that people should not be judged on first impressions.
I always love when the touring companies go out to do things like that.
And it's just so fun to see the cast do their thing and show off their talents in other songs and areas.
Oh, you've been to one?
I have. Where
did you go to?
They had a Witch's Night Out when it came to Wichita.
Oh, cool, cool. So that was the second national tour?
Yes, it was.
Awesome. Making his 54 Below debut on December 15th is musical theater writer Michael Fink. The concert will include music from several of Fink's musicals, as well as new songs from upcoming projects. Included in the talent for the evening is Aaron Mackey. There is a $15 cover charge and a food and beverage minimum. Visit 54below.com for more information.
I saw Erin several times in Chicago. She has quite the voice.
Yeah, I saw her do Glinda on Broadway, and she was really great. And I also saw her in Chaplin on Broadway, and she's really talented and has been doing a lot of things since she's left Wicked. So it's really cool.
Speaking of Chicago, on December 2nd, the producers of Wicked announced that the current engagement of the first national tour production broke the Broadway in Chicago record for the largest one-week gross. For the week ending December 1st, Wicked took in a record-setting $1,935,432 at the box office. Wicked held the previous Chicago record, earning $64,429
during the 21st. Wow, those are some big numbers they have right there.
They are, and for coming back and still doing so well is wonderful.
Yeah, I think this is the second time since the Chicago sit-down closed that a touring company of Wicked has been in Chicago. So yeah, it's really great that it's still doing so well, even though it's been there a lot, many times. I'm sure that some people complain when they see it on the season, part of the season, but hey, it does really well for Broadway in Chicago every time it comes there, so it's good. Absolutely. It's good for the economy also.
Hi listeners, this is Ryan here with this week's media section. It's going to be a quick one. We have two articles and one video that we're going to share. So the first one that we're going to do is the first national touring cast of Wicked will be hosting a Wicked Night After Christmas on Monday, December 9th, 2013 at 8 p.m. The event will be held at the Laugh Factory in Chicago, Illinois. It's a part of an ongoing series of performances and appearances by the touring company to support charitable causes which advance Wicked's theme of acceptance and illuminate the musical's message that people should not be judging on first impressions. In its 8 years on the road, the company has raised over $2.5 million in donations for Broadway Cares, Equity Fights AIDS, and local AIDS service organizations all over the country. Many company members will participate in the event, including several of the leads. There will be a live auction and silent auction, as well as opportunities for backstage tours and an auction for a walk-on role. So that's an excellent cause, and you certainly have excellent prizes to choose from as well. The second article that we have is from Playbill.com, and it's an interview with Donna Vivino, and it's a part of their series that features actors commenting on their recent theater-going experiences and what productions they're looking forward to and more. So the recent production that Donna saw was Kinky Boots, and she said that the show had so much heart, and she thought that the company was incredible. She left feeling both moved and wanted to dance in the streets. She also loved Pippin, as it was near and dear to her heart since she did it her freshman year of high school. And she's excited to see that Fun Home has extended for a third time. When she was asked what she would like to revive on Broadway and which role she would want to play, she said that she has one play that she would like to bring back and two musicals. The first one is that she would like to play Bella in Neil Simon's Lost in Yonkers. She said it's such a wonderful play, and she always felt connected to that time in New York City history. The next show that she said that she wanted to revive is City of Angels. And she said, as a jazz singer, as well as a Broadway performer, she's always been drawn to the score of that piece. She would want to play Donna / Uli in the revival of that show. And finally, maybe a few years from now, she would think that she would want to bring falsettos back. And she would very much enjoy playing Trina and singing Bill Flynn music every night and watching Jason play ball. So that is a really good interview. And she also talks about her current project of working in Stars of David at the DR2 in the Darryl Roth Theater. So definitely go to our website and check out that interview. It's from Playbill.com. And our video that we have today is of Disney actually released earlier this week the full animated performance of Idina Menzel singing Let It Go from the movie Frozen. Now, I haven't had a chance to see it, but after watching this, I need to go to the theaters and see it because it was absolutely incredible. The song actually kind of reminds me a little bit of Defying Gravity with the whole accepting of her powers and kind of not really caring what other people think of her and just kind of accepting that she has to go her own way. So here's that clip.
keep it in. Heaven knows I tried. Don't let them in, don't let them see. Be the good girl you always have to be. Conceal, don't feel, don't let them know.
A quick little fun fact, for those of you who don't know, Willemin Verkaik is actually portraying Elsa in the German version of Frozen, so I thought that was pretty cool that two former Elphabas are performing the same role. Now, the next and final clip that I want to play, because I don't want to play too much because I want you guys to see the movie, is actually the ending. The power that Idina has at the end of this, it's absolutely mind-blowing. So take a listen to this. I mean, come on. After that, how could you not want to go see that? That does it for this week's media section, and now we'll head over to our next section.
Hey, listeners. This is Isaac, and I'm here this morning with Jennifer DeNoia, who is currently portraying the role of Elphaba on the second national tour of Wicked. Now, Jenny has a really long history with Wicked, having performed in the show on and off, but more on, since 2006, as the standby for Elphaba on Broadway in Chicago and in Australia and New Zealand, and is a swing and understudy for Elphaba and Nessa Rose in the Chicago production. Prior to Wicked, Jenny also performed in Mamma Mia and We Will Rock You professionally. Jenny, we're very glad to have you here with us today. How's everything going?
Oh, great. I'm so happy to be here with you as well.
So tell us a little bit about yourself as a person, besides your performing arts, and like what you like to do outside of performing.
Oh, well, I'm quite shy in real life. I tend to be a little awkward, which is probably why I'm playing Elphaba, but I grew up in Connecticut, and I loved playing sports. I was actually a track and fielder when I was in high school, and I did that for all 4 years of high school. But besides performing, I really just did sports, and I love my family. I travel to Italy all the time. I'm actually a dual citizen of Italy. So that's a really big part of my life. But besides, oh my God, I don't even know, besides performing, what is my life right now? It's been my life for so long that I don't even know what else I do.
So how did you get started performing? Like, what gave you the bug to perform?
I kind of knew at a very early age that I wanted to be a performer. My uncle, actually, while I was growing up, he was a performer. He did a bunch of national tours, like Crazy for You, Tap Dance Kid. So I grew up and at a really young age went to see shows. So my first show that I ever saw was actually The Wizard of Oz at Radio City Music Hall when I was like three or four. And, I really knew right away. Like, my first dance recital was when I was 3 and a half, and I was like, Mom, I want to be on stage. I told her right away. So, there was no other options for me.
That's right. So there was never any other career you think you could have ended up in if you weren't performing?
No. And as I get older, I think of things that maybe I think like I'm exposed to more as I get older. So I love to cook, and, obviously with all the cooking shows that are on TV now, I think I'm like this amazing cook because I watch the TV shows. So I always say to myself, like, I would be a chef if I wasn't doing what I'm doing now.
Right. That's awesome. So tell us a little bit about the shows you did prior to Wicked. You did We Will Rock You and Mamma Mia professionally, correct?
Yes. My first, I guess, big professional job as an adult was Mamma Mia, which I got when I was 19 years old. And it was a pretty cool story because I wasn't actually an equity member, which is our union that you have to be a part of to be in a, you know, a full equity show. And I was waitressing at Cafe Europa in New York on 57th and 7th. And I went to an open call. So I was like, you know, maybe like 500th or 600th in line kind of thing. And I ended up getting whittled down to the end and booking it. And when they gave me the job, they offered me the job. And then they were like, oh, wait, you're not equity. We don't know if we can give you the job. And I spent a week of like, you know, of worrying like that I was not going to get this opportunity. But they ended up like pulling it all together. And I joined equity last minute and had to pay for it like right out. But that was okay with me. Right. Yeah, I went on the road with that for almost 2.5 years.
Wow.
And it was like, it really was one of the most special, amazing experiences of my life. And a lot of people, you know, sometimes look at Mamma Mia and think, oh, that's, you know, that's like a fun show. It's not really much to it, but, and, you know, to some that's what it is, but it was like my college years. It was like, it literally taught me everything. I watched some of the most professional people I still have ever worked with do that job. And from everybody, from the cast, the crew, the producers, the directors, the musicians. I mean, I just like soaked it in like a sponge. And it was really, really 2.5 years of like hardcore, like learning sessions for me. I was in the ensemble and I understudied one of Sophie's friends, Allie. So I got to do that a few times, which was pretty cool because at the time I was really a dancer that could sing, that could pretty much sing. Cause that's how I started. I went to college as a dance major. So I always knew I wanted to be on Broadway or in musicals, but I could sing, I carry a tune, but I wasn't like, I never took a voice lesson. I didn't know what kind of capabilities I had. I just relied mostly on my dance skills. So after Mamma Mia, while we were in LA with the show, I auditioned for We Will Rock You, which is the Queen musical that opened in the West End and was opening in Las Vegas. And I ended up booking it, which was so awesome. And because it was like my big second job. And I was ready for a new show after 2.5 years on the road with Mamma Mia. I moved to Las Vegas and I was there for 1.5 years. And I was able to like start the show from the ground up and I had my own track in the show. Which was like amazing to start in rehearsals. Like we got to work closely with Ben Elton, who wrote and directed the show, and also with the Queen members, which was so cool. Brian May and Roger Taylor. And like Brian May, like knew my name. Like, I don't, you know, he might not remember me now, but, he was one of the nicest guys I could ever ask to work with, to meet. He was really fantastic. So that was really exhilarating.
That is so neat. Now who did you cover in that show?
I covered Scaramouche, the female lead.
Did you go on?
I did. Well, obviously starting as a dancer, I was a dancer track in the show. And when I first booked the show, I did not have any Scaramouche cover. And when one of the, like after about 6 months into the show of performing, one of the girls left, one of the Scaramouche understudies left. Then I was like, can I audition for it? Which has kind of been my path. Like that's what happened to me in Wicked. But I asked to audition for it and they auditioned me for it. And then I got it and then I understudied it. And then towards the end of the show, maybe the last 6 months of the show, running in Las Vegas, I was kind of like the Scaramouche standby, I guess. But I would do two of the shows a week. I'd do both the matinees. So it was kind of like an alternate, I guess.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
So talking, you know, segueing into Wicked here, tell us a little bit about your audition process for Wicked, because everybody's is crazy and different. So what was yours like?
Well, at the time I was doing Wheel of Rock You, so taking on my character, of course, as a rock and roll chick, which I thought I was, you know, a rock star. I had jet black hair with like this hot pink underneath, you know, like that Christina Aguilera look that she had, like the two-tone.
Yes.
I don't know if that was such a good idea, but I think it may have booked me Wicked.
Really?
Because they really like tough girls that like look like they could, you know, take care of themselves or maybe kind of kick your butt a little bit.
Uh-huh.
I think dancer wise on the show. And I went to an open call in LA. So I drove from Las Vegas to LA and I went to an open dance call and got through all the dance calls and they sang me, which my audition song was How Will I Know by Whitney Houston, which I sang 32 bars of. And they liked me. So I ended up getting the job like right after Wheel of Rock You closed. It was really lucky. And I got the swing position, in Chicago. So I was covering all 9, female ensemble tracks, but I'm kind of like, at that time, at least I was one of those people that they didn't really see in a track yet. Like, cause the tracks in Wicked are very specific types, like Red Ponytail Girl and, you know, the Palm Tree track, which is like the girl that has the hair that is in a straight line up her head.
Right.
And each track is really specific. So I didn't really fit into any of those. So they kind of thought, oh, she'd be a good swing.
And so you covered every female role in the show except for Morrible, correct?
Yeah, yeah, I did.
So did you cover Elphaba and Nessa right from the get-go?
No. I was a swing for about 6 months, and then one of the girls hurt themselves and was going to be out on a back injury for 3 months. And because it was like a good enough chunk of time that they needed another understudy, but not enough time to really hire a brand new person. They wanted to cover it internally, and I asked to audition for it. So I recorded myself on a cassette tape. Talk about a long time ago. And they sent it off to New York, and they got the okay, and they were like, yeah, sure, she could be an emergency cover. Sure, why not? And I ended up going on, which I think was the helpful point of that whole thing, because maybe if I didn't go on it, I wouldn't have had the path that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that that show was very good, because I'm sure it wasn't the best show at all.
But so did you end up doing every single track except for Morrible, obviously, during your time with Wicked in Chicago?
Yeah, the only track I didn't perform was Nessa. I just covered it.
So you never actually went on for Nessa?
I never actually went on for Nessa, no.
Okay. Is it something that at some point you would like to revisit maybe, or do you think that you could do that role still? Would you enjoy doing it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would absolutely enjoy doing it because I think it's a fantastic role. It's so, like, dark. It really is a very dark role. But I think now that I'm so deep within, like, Elphaba, like, I feel like I've got Elphaba head. Like, I don't know if I could, if I would want to go, you know, like backtrack into Nessa, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like the wheels that turn in my head are like so Elphaba driven right now and have been for so long that I don't know, cause they're such different people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So did you have a favorite ensemble track to perform in the show or a favorite vocal part to perform in the show?
Yes, I absolutely loved performing the Palm Tree track. She had the best like lifts and the best like she would be featured sometimes, but then she was like one of the monkeys that was on the back wall, like, so I got to climb up the cage all the way to the top and, like, you know, on the monkey reveal. Mm-hmm. After Elphaba gives Chistri the wings and, you know, the walls open up. Right. I was the top monkey, which was always really, really fun. But that was probably my favorite dance track to perform. But I actually, a few times I performed some of the male tracks because, you know, when there's a split show, they don't have enough people to cover. So I would end up going on for a monkey at the end of the show. And then I get to bow with the boys, which was always the best part. Cause I'd take my monkey mask off and like my long hair would come out and people would be like, wait a second.
That's great.
Yeah, that was fun.
There was a swing. You actually, correct me if I'm wrong, but you had to know all three of the vocal parts in the show, right? All three of the female vocal parts.
Yes, all three.
So did you have a favorite to perform? Was there one that was just more fun than the others for you?
Probably the middle one, because that's where my voice sits, you know, the easiest.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Do you need to take that?
No, not at all. Sorry, okay. It's my fiancé calling. He's he just left here. He was here this weekend. So.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
I was just checking out. You're welcome to stop and take it if you need to.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Okay. So how did your mini promotions in the Wicked world come about? Did you audition for every time you were promoted or moved to a different production, or did they just ask you to do it? How did that work?
Yeah. Every time that I've gotten moved, up in the company, that I auditioned for it. When they moved me to Australia and to Seoul, Korea, they just asked me to do that, 'cause that was more of a last minute type of thing. But, every time I moved from, you know, when I moved into the standby position in Chicago, I auditioned for it. And then before Broadway, and even while I was on Broadway, because every time, you know, every time the role opens up, most of the standbys will audition for the role. So right. they'll call the people in that they are interested in hearing again, just because, you know, Wicked is so big now that they have to, like, be reminded, and there's so many companies, so they have to, like, get, you know, all the standbys together, all the understudies together, and just to hear them and, you know, and then place them where they see fit, kind of thing.
Yeah, I'm sure that sometimes, you know, people have made progress and grown in the role since they've last seen them too, so it's kind of neat to get to see them again, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as I'm sure, like yourself and, you know, all the other people who have seen Wicked as many times as you have, or as many times as I have, even, like, you know, you see somebody and then 5 years later you see them again and you're like, wait a second, that's the same person I saw do that that long ago. It's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your journey and with Wicked in Australia and South Korea. Like, how did all that happen? And I mean, what was that like for you?
Oh my God. Well, it was kind of, besides getting moved to the Broadway company, which was like the biggest thing for me in my career that time, getting my first Broadway show, getting asked to do the Australian company was so cool. Like, I felt like, oh my God, this is, you know, I'm finally like stepping into a place that they trust me, you know, with this role. So that was really like a confidence boost because, you know, as a performer, we're constantly criticizing ourselves, let alone everybody else's as well. So, that was definitely something that really started to like light the fire for me. I got momentum with it, but one of our associate director came to the theater in New York one day, and it was like a Friday, and she was like, "Hey, what? How do you feel about maybe going to Australia and doing the show there for a little while?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'd love to. That's amazing." And she was like, "Can you leave on Monday?" I was like, okay, maybe leave on Tuesday morning, like just so I can get a day, like a couple days to like figure it out. 'Cause I still had to be at work that weekend.
Oh, they didn't call you out of the show that weekend.
I think they may have let me go on the Sunday, but, it was so last minute because, the girl that was playing Elphaba there, was having a lot of vocal issues, and the standby was like covering her completely, but the understudy, because they were kind of a newer company, the understudy hadn't I mean, she had maybe had a few rehearsals, but she didn't have her put in. She had never been up in the levitator or done any of the like technical aspects of the show. And they just needed somebody there that could just jump right in. And, you know, Wicked, knowing that I have a swing mind where I can kind of just step into something and make it work. Mm-hmm. They were like, oh, let's use Jenny. I kind of became the go-to travel around Alphaba standby.
You really were for quite a few years there.
I know. But I was not complaining. It was one of the coolest experiences ever. I've made really amazing friends. Some of those Australians are lifelong friends to me, and they were all so great. And it was really, really cool to do the show with people that, you know, obviously they watch YouTube and they can, you know, see things from America, like see the show from America, but most of them had never seen the show like at all. So they were going off, you know, just the text and the music, and it was kind of beautiful to watch people create something within a show that's already so, like, you know, set. A staple set.
Oh, that is fantastic. And Lisa was the one that directed that production, wasn't she?
Yes, and she's the one that asked me to go over. She's kind of been, she's a wonderful, wonderful director, and she's really kind of helped mold me, I think, into the actor that I am today.
Yeah.
She was, just because, you know, I think we have kind of similar backgrounds, just like going from a dancer into another position. It's always hard to kind of change people's minds, you know, because first impressions are everything. So when somebody sees you as a dancer, it's very difficult for them to like kind of switch their brains and say, oh, she could be a singer or an actor as well. So she's really helped me kind of find that and given me the opportunities to learn more, which has been awesome.
That's pretty neat. Yeah. So how did you come to make, talking, I guess this has to do a little bit with Lisa and her working with you too, but how did you come to make the acting and the vocal choices that you make? Like, how did you decide? Do you have a cognitive, I want to act it this way, I want to sing this line this way, or was it just stuff that kind of happened in performance, or how did all that work?
Yeah, I think at first, when in my earlier years of doing Alphaba, it was definitely like planned. Like everything I did was very planned. Because as a standby, when you jump into the position, it's very hard to, you know, really experiment and like go kind of, you know, make different choices because the people around you are so set in what they're doing. So I tried to just kind of like step in and do the same show every day. But now that I'm playing the role, and even while I was in the Broadway company, it was like, it's been really amazing because I get to play, and every show for me is different. And I swear to you, at least every other show, I find a new moment or I say a line in a way that I'm like, oh my God, that's what she means. Like, it's like these like crazy light bulbs that go off in my head. And I like, it's amazing how I've been doing the show for so long, and yet I can still find like these cool, like little, you know, creases in Alphaba that are just like amazing. Like, so I feel like I try to bring myself to the role as much as I can, and my real life experiences or feelings, even at that time. Like, you know, some days I wake up and I'm maybe missing home a little bit. So maybe Alphaba's, you know, she's got a little touch of, you know, sadness a little bit more than normal, or, you know what I mean? Like I try and like, you know, stick within my guidelines that I have to stick within because it works. And, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, you know, kind of thing. But I, you know, I try to bring as much real life emotion to it as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have, you're one that's known for doing quite a few, you know, little alternate notes and stuff, which are great in the score.
I can't believe I'm known for that.
Well, because you have quite a few that are very unique, that are like genuine. They're not ones that somebody else has done in the past. You know what I mean?
Oh, cool. Thanks. Like, yeah. Okay.
Need to hide, bring me down, that kind of thing.
Oh yeah. That one's a fun one. I like that one.
So is there like a favorite that you've come up with or that you do a lot that you have that you really like to do just because for any reason?
You know, I try to do it every Sunday. I call it Blowout Sunday. It's like a joke between me and the crew. So I try to do all of my alternate notes on a Sunday night performance, which is kind of ballsy, but I like to challenge myself in that way. And sometimes it doesn't work, but, you know, or I'm too tired to do it. But, I really like my Bring Me Down. I think that one's really fun.
Yeah.
And sometimes I'll even take it up higher if I'm feeling really good, which,
like up to an A,
you know, this is how awful I am. I don't even know what note it is. I do. I mean, obviously I do not sound like I would in the show, but normally that high note I'll do Bring Me Down. And, but sometimes I'll do Bring Me Down, whatever that optional note would be.
Fine. In that,
I don't know what note that is.
No, I'm not sure either, but
that's, but yeah. If I'm feeling real good, I'll do that. But I've only actually done that maybe like 3 or 4 times in performance. But I do like, let's see, what note is that? My Kiss Me Goodbye.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the one with the, where you do the big turn at the top on the goodbye instead of just the good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that little turn is fun. Like that, yeah, one.
I know what you're talking about. That's a fun one. I think you did that when I was in Houston, actually, one of the shows.
Oh, fun. Okay.
That's a fun one. And you did, you actually did quite a bit one of the shows. I was there when you didn't fly that one day in Houston. So that one.
Oh, that's right. So I, yeah, when I don't fly, I try to sing as much as I can.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense, you know?
Try and make up for the fact that I'm not up in the air.
It's handled really well, though. It's handled incredibly well. So.
Yeah, our plan B. Very funny.
So tell us about how you take care of yourself while doing the role. It's because it's such a vocally and physically and emotionally demanding role. Do you, have you like learned any kind of like health secrets over the year for handling it? Or,
you know, I've watched so many Elphabas drive themselves crazy and become kind of hypochondriacs that I try and live my life as balanced as I can. So, you know, if I want, you know, a hamburger at nighttime with lots of ketchup, which, you know, is kind of a no-no because of the acidity. Mm-hmm. I just do it and I deal with it in the morning. But I really, you know, I don't go out after the show. Cause while we're on tour, a lot of people, we all hang out together, which is so fun. But I don't go out because if I'm talking, I find that if I talk like loudly at a, like at a restaurant or a bar at nighttime, I will be very hoarse in the morning. Right. Yeah, like during the week, I live a little bit like a nun. Like I'll come home after every show and drink some tea and go to bed, you know, at a reasonable time. But right now my body is like, so it's in that, like, I like to compare it to like a marathon runner. Not that I could ever run a marathon because I ran the very short distances in track and field, not the long marathons, but marathon runners, you know, their bodies are so in shape and so there already that even if they're not doing well in their race, like they still can run it. So I feel like my body is like, it's an Elphaba shape. So even if I might be tired the next day because I ate something or I stayed up too late, my body is still programmed to play Elphaba now.
Yes.
So I can figure it out. I can just figure it out. And, you know, to be honest with you, I don't have any secrets. I just drink a lot of tea and I don't know. I think that because I've wanted to play this role for so long, it's such a joy to go to work and I feel so lucky every day that like it makes it easier to do the show every day, you know?
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. Some people, there have been a lot of people who we've had on the podcast that I've just talked to personally and made comments about it's a lot easier to do the role as the lead than it is to do it as the standby.
Oh my God. It truly is. I was a standby for 5 years and, you know, I give so much credit to Alyssa Fox, who's the standby right now on Second National, and all the standbys out there. I mean, it is truly one of the hardest things because here you are, you know, standing by to carry a show that's so huge and you only get these like random opportunities. So it's like getting shot out of a cannon. And, you know, like, I mean, I'm pretty solid at this point. And, like, as is Haley, Haley never calls out. She's never out. I call out probably once every 5 weeks, I would say. But
very
I
mean, specific.
Yeah, it's hard. It's really, really hard. But it's really good. I feel like it's really good training, and I'm very thankful that I got so much time as a standby, because I, you know, having to like step into this role like out of nowhere after not being on a stage for 5 weeks is it's you know, it's really difficult. So it truly kind of trains you and gets you ready to like play the role.
Right. So is there a particular part of the job that you would say is the hardest part of your job?
You know, I think emotionally I find the role more taxing than physically. Just because it's such a roller coaster of emotions that like I feel so drained emotionally at the end of the show.
Right.
Kind of like all I want to do when I'm done with the show is go home and just like put on like a couple episodes of Friends and just like blank out a little bit. I don't really have like anything to give anymore. You know what I mean?
No, absolutely.
So, you know, having said that and like, you know, keeping in touch with family and friends and people at home is so difficult because I literally just don't want to talk. I don't want to like engage or anything. Which, you know, I don't do, obviously, because I keep in touch with my family and my friends. But I find that to be the most taxing because it's hard to, like, rev up my engine to, like, you know, have, like, emotional, like, feelings towards anything else, you know?
Right, absolutely. So do you have any memorable or funny stories from performing in Wicked or in other shows or, like, bloopers that have occurred that have been particularly hilarious?
Yeah, I have a few. Oh, I have a bunch. I think one of my favorite ones is, well, it was in Mamma Mia, and I was very green, no pun intended, when I did that show. And one of the first cities that I went on with the tour was San Francisco. And I, you know, growing up in Connecticut, I'm such an East Coast girl. I'd only been to California like once or twice before with family, but I'm like terrified of natural disasters. I have this weird fear of natural disasters, like earthquakes, you know, tsunamis. Like I have nightmares about stuff like that. But earthquakes really freaks me out. So it's right before the second act starts in Mamma Mia. And the first number is Under Attack, and we're all wearing like scuba gear. So we've got like goggles on, and we've got these weird, like really ugly, like biker tard type of like outfits with like, you know, literally like floaties around our waist. Not the most flattering outfit ever, but, I remember we were standing there and everybody in the company was standing there and had all planned to do this to me because they all knew that I was deathly afraid of earthquakes. And with the goggles on, you can only see like right in front of you. You can't see like the peripheral vision. And we're waiting for the second act to start. We had about 3 or 4 minutes, and, you know, they had a cue word and everybody started to like shake and fall to the ground. It was the most frightening moment ever. And I literally fell on the ground and started to cry hysterically.
How mean.
I know, you know, they did it as a joke, and now I think it was like probably the funniest thing ever. But, you know, being like 19 years old, the only underage person on the entire cast, like everybody was at least 21 and older. So I was really like the baby. That one was like probably the most memorable one for me. They were all my friends. Like they weren't being mean to me. They were like literally like kind of joking at me, like making fun. And like they all felt so bad when I was started to cry, but it was very funny. I mean, I'm glad that they like tricked me like that. I thought it was fun. Afterwards, I definitely laughed about it, but like now I know how I'll act when an earthquake happens.
I'll fall on the ground and start crying.
I've always kind of wondered, you know, with it being out, when the tour goes out to California and stuff, and I always kind of find myself wondering, like, what if there was an earthquake during the show?
You know? I know. That really, like, it really pulls at me. Like, I don't know, like, that would be really frightening, I think.
I would think a theater would be a pretty good place to be, though, because it's got a very good structure, you know?
Oh, yeah, and I'm sure that those buildings have, you know, they're all earthquake equipped kind of thing.
Right. It's like we down here. I'm actually from South Alabama. And we're all very like our buildings are all hurricane resistant. And...
Oh, wow. Yeah. I mean, hurricanes, geez, those, it's so scary.
So have you had any like memorable stage door experiences you'd want to share over your years with Wicked?
Let's see. Yes, I do. Well, I like to give a shout out to one of my favorites, Dustin.
Uh-huh. I love Dustin.
I know, he's just such a sweetheart, and he gave me my first gift I ever received from a fan, and I keep it with me. I it's actually at my house right now. It's not because it's hung up in my house. He drew a picture of one of my like pictures that was on Facebook or something of my put in for Elphaba, and you know, he was just like such, I mean, now I mean, I still know him because he's come to see the shows again, but he was so young and like, and such a beautiful artist. He's really good. He's a really good artist. And it was just such a touching moment for me because I'd never had that experience of having like somebody who enjoyed something that I did give me something. So that was really a memorable moment for me. Mm-hmm. And then also in Houston, actually, I had, this young girl come up to me, probably like 14, 15 years old. And, she was really Elphaba-like, very like kind of, inner and, you know, shoulders hunched, long, dark hair, but very sweet. And, she walked up to me and she had had a paper crumbled in her hand and she like kind of like tapped me and said, "Here." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." And she was like, you can read it later. And I was like, "Okay." And I kind of turned away and opened it. And she had ripped off a piece of like a paper bag from, you know, buying a program or whatever. And just three words like on top of each other. And it just said, "You inspire me." Ugh. And it was like, it's gorgeous. I framed it and I keep it on my station with me. And I was just like, it just like tore at my heartstrings because I was like, oh my God, like, you know, I already feel like the luckiest girl ever to be where I'm, what I'm doing and where I'm at. And just to like get that from somebody who relates to Elphaba and relates to the show. And it was just like, you know, it making a difference, you know, as cheesy as it is, like, but truly like it's one big reason why I do what I do because, you know, it really brings joy to people. And it was so cool to see that from such a young girl, you know?
Yeah, no, that gave me chills just thinking about it. That's kind of, you know, in a similar note, that's how we as teachers, a lot of times, like we treasure those little things like notes.
Oh, God, absolutely. And it just like, and as a teacher, even like, I'm sure that like, I mean, talk about a thankless job. But when you get those moments with a student, like, you're like, oh my God, I made a difference in somebody's life. Like,
yeah.
That girl, you know, that gave me that little note, like, I mean, I may have made like a massive difference in her life, but she made a huge difference in mine, you know? And I think that's what like some fans of like Wicked, you know, they're, you know, coming to see the show all the time and like saying great job and supporting, but like, they have no idea, like it means so much to the performers. Like that's our fuel, you know, like to know that like people really relate to the show and just like keep coming back and love it so much.
Absolutely.
It's, you know, that's our gasoline for Wicked, really. That's why it's lasted for 10 years now.
So have there been any favorite cities or restaurants that you visited on tour that you can think of just?
Ooh, that's hard. Being in the Chicago company for 3 years was amazing because Chicago has some of the best restaurants in the world, which is where I met my fiance. And he had been living there for, you know, a couple of years prior to me being there. So that was fun to meet somebody in a city that knew it well enough to take me around. But while I've been on the tour, favorite cities, I'd have to say definitely Kansas City was a great city. I'm working backwards. Houston, I loved Houston, and I'm not just saying that. I absolutely loved that city, and a lot of people didn't like it because it was so hot, but I love the hot weather. It's good for my voice. But yeah, we went to a sushi place in Houston that I loved. It was so good.
Which one? And do you remember?
I can't remember what it was called. Oh God, I'm so bad with this. Oh man. See, cause Haley and I and David, the Fiero, all three of us are big foodies, and we always go to like we always try and scope out like the best restaurants in the area. God, I'm literally, my brain is blanking on that sushi restaurant.
It's okay.
Let's see. There was in South Bend, we went to this place called Seasons something, Seasons 54. I can't remember. Oh my God. I'm so bad with this. David actually just texted me a little while ago. We're going to a restaurant tonight in Indianapolis called Elmo's Steakhouse. I guess it's a big one there. But yeah, we always scope out the best restaurants in every city.
That's awesome. So do you have any dream roles that you'd really like to perform that you haven't done yet?
I'd love to play Gypsy, Rosalie in Gypsy. Mm-hmm. Just because growing up, Natalie Wood was like a huge influence in my life. I always had this like kind of funny connection with her, like, cause I owned the VHS of Gypsy with her. And, I have always wanted to play that role. And then I'd also love to play a role where I can use my dancing capabilities with, you know, playing a big role. So I'd love to play Millie in Thoroughly Modern Millie.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. I'm a tapper. And Sutton Foster is like a huge idol of mine. And, yeah, I'd love to play Thoroughly Modern Millie.
Well, we can get a revival at some point soon. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I hope it happens before I'm too old.
So to kind of close out, we like to ask, what advice would you give to aspiring performers? Do you have any like words of wisdom to share?
Become as educated as you possibly can. And by that, I mean, you know, go to see as much theater as you can, go to movies, you know, Wikipedia, everything that you can, learn as much as you can about the performers, the directors, the way that things kind of came about, shows and people's careers. I feel like, you know, that's one thing I did miss out on without going to school was like that musical theater history, which is, you know, like learning about like, you know, people that have, you know, did musicals in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s, all these things. But yeah, I would just say like, just become as immersed as you can and be a sponge and soak it all in. Take class, take voice lessons, you know, just immerse yourself within. And then also on top of that, realize that you're going to have to grow a couple layers of skin and have that thick armor on because it's a really hard path to take. But when you do get those moments of rewards, it's like, you know, it makes it all worth it.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us, Jenny. We really appreciate it.
Oh my God. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy that we got to do this for real.
Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening to this week's podcast. As always, we welcome your feedback, and you can find instructions on how to send that feedback on the post with the podcast on the blog, innuendoandoutuendo.com. So for now, we'll see you in 2 weeks.